The Navi here is following up on conquering Eretz Yisrael. So we know that in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, they conquered vast parts of Eretz Yisrael. And now it talks about the Goyim that the Eibishter left in Eretz Yisrael. Eila ha-goyim asher niach Hashem l'nasris b'mes Yisrael. It's a strange lashon the pasuk uses. Hashem left goyim there to test Klal Yisrael. Sounds like it's a lachatchila. Doesn't sound like it's b'di'evet. Hashem left these goyim there to test us. What exactly are they testing us? He's called asher l'yodu, he's called m'lchomis k'nan. So comes the Medrash Tanchume. Rashi quotes part of it. The Medrash Tanchume comes and he says, "Moshel Moad Avadayma." What does it mean? Hashem Dafka left Goyim in Eretz Yisrael that we didn't conquer. So the Medrash Tanchume is asking, what does that mean? Why would Hashem do that? The Loshen sounds like he Dafka wanted to test us. What does that mean? So that's the Medrash's question. Moshel Moad Avadayma. L'melech Shenot HaKerem. He planted a vineyard. And in the vineyard, there were obstructions to the vineyard. A vineyard has to be just vines. There were trees in the vineyard. There were thorns in the vineyard. So the Medrash says, Ho yishom arozim gedolim v'koytzim. So obviously, neither one are desired. In a vineyard, you don't want cedar trees growing, and you don't want thorns. You don't want either one. So the Medrash says, "Omer le'avodav u'bnei beisoy adineinu ha-melech." Why the kotzatz is arozim v'niach hazakoytz? The servants of the king are bothered. Why did the king only cut the big trees? Once he did the job, he should have already taken care of the whole job. Basically, the king went in this beautiful vineyard. He got rid of the big trees, and the thorns he left. The thorns is the easiest. Just clean up the mess. Why did you leave thorns? So the king answers as follows. Om Elohim, ilu kotzatzti es hakoisim. If I would have cut the thorns, right, then what would you have? B'may yisim goydim es karmi. The thorns can also be act as a fencing. I'm sure you've seen that. Sometimes properties have thorns around it as an enclosure. It attracts even animals, thorns. So what would you use to close my vineyard? Kach Yisrael, Kam Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael, the vineyard of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema ki kerem Hashem tzvoko is beis Yisrael. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. V'hichnis Yisrael l'oretz. V'kotzat etzarozim. He cut the big trees. That's what we learned about in Sefer Yeshua. He got rid of the big kings. But he left Kaitzim. V'iniach es b'neim v'z'b'nei b'neim shom. He left them there. K'dei sheyishmu b'nei Yisrael satorah. Shenemar ve'eila agoyim asher iniach Hashem l'nasis b'omes Yisrael. That's this pasuk by us. So this Medrash Tanchum in Parshas Re'eh is coming to explain what this pasuk in Shoifta means. When it says Hashem purposefully left these Umas Ha'elam in Eretz Yisrael, they're like the thorns of the vineyard. That the king left the thorns of the vineyard to preserve the vineyard, so too he did over here. But the Medrash is not clear exactly what's the chibur. And many of the Mefarshim talk about this, the Al Shachar Kodesh and others. And there's a very important takeaway here for Lusayf Kol Adairis. Very, very important takeaway from this Medrash. There's, in this past week's parasha, we've spoken about this in the past, that we find that the Shibud Mitzrayim began after Klal Yisrael lost the whole Shevet of the Boye Mitzrayim. Vayomas Yosef, v'chol Echo, v'chol Adrahu, and then Vayokom Melech HaDesh HaMitzrayim. Then there was a new king. Right? Up until that point, we don't find that there was really much of a shibud. We were golos. It was considered golos. But it wasn't a real shibud. The real Shibud began only after, which is really the first Rashi in Vayechi, after Yaakov Avinu died, but in Parashat Shmos it elaborates. The whole Dor died. Yosef, Echov, Echol Ador. So, one of the explanations over there, why is that, is also a Gemara in Bava Basra, famous Gemara in Bava Basra. And that Gemara in Bava Basra goes very well with a beautiful Satma Rebbe Zatzal in Hagodah. In Hagodah Shal Pesach. The Satma Rebbe Rabbi Yoel is coming to explain what it means in the Hagodah, the phrase, V'hi Sha'om Dol Aviseinu. Everybody asks, what's the V'hi Sha'om Dol Aviseinu? What's the V'hi? Look before V'hi Sha'om Dol, it's not clear. What's the V'hi? V'hi Sha'om Dol Aviseinu Bolonim. Some say that it's going on Yayin and Yayin Nesech and Stam Yayinam V'hi, the cup itself, the wine. The Satmar Rebbe has a fascinating pshat. The pshat of the Satmar Rebbe fits gewaldik with a Baba V'Rebbe, a Pshloime Mi Baba V'Zatzal's pshat in the Gemara Baba Basra, and fits with a Yisoy that the Chofetz Chaim said. And then it goes back to this medrash that we're talking about here on the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. The Baba V'Rebbe, Rabbi Shloime Mi Baba, in the Sefer Kerem Shloime, he asks, what's pshat in the Gemara Baba Basra? The Gemara brings down a very strange story. Doesn't seem to have any meaning. And the Gemara makes a whole Isaac out of this story. What's the story? Bunch of Amiroyim, they got onto a boat. They went into the water. They went sailing. They saw a Gewaldige island. Beautiful, looked like a beautiful place to stop. They took the ship. They left it by the island. They went on to the island. They rested, they relaxed, they enjoyed the scenery. And then they decided, like all Yidden, we're going to make a barbecue. Yidden don't stay anywhere too long without a barbecue. They made a barbecue. They made a barbecue, mitamol, it became clear that what they thought was an island wasn't an island. It actually was a massive fish that already was sitting there floating, had already things on its back. And it looked like an island. It was no island. It was a huge fish. But they ran into a big problem. Because fish don't like when you make a barbecue on their back. It's not so comfortable. So as it got a little warm, the fish decided, tried to turn around that bissel. And the fish went on its back. Immediately given a party was over. Barbecue obviously was canceled. Right? And so this is the mice in the Gemara. Hamot the mice. The Gemara then says, what's the lesson? Yeah, what's the lesson? If not for the fact that our boat was right near the fish, meaning if we would have just, Mesich Das, we're going to stay on the island. We wouldn't have worried about our boat. We would have been finished. Because the fish would have turned around and we'd have no place to go. But because we left the boat right by the island, we got saved. Adkan Divrei Chazal. Comes of Shlomo Mibabov. Nobody more appropriate to say the Maisen of Shlomo Mibabov because he lived through the Holocaust. He had an unbelievable, he was unbelievably impacted by the Holocaust. The Ganze Mishpacha, everything, Nebuch. Him, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, there was a group that probably were from the most impacted, that survived. So he said a beautiful vote. He said, Ayid is in Golos. Hashem puts us in Golos. We're in Golos, we're there for a reason. We're in Golos for a reason, right? Sometimes we lose sight of why we're in Golos. We lose sight why we're in Golos. It becomes counter, whatever the Golos is supposed to do for us, whatever we're supposed to do, it becomes counterproductive because what happens is we start feeling we're not in Golos. So if we're not in Golos, we feel like, number one, we have nothing to be misaken. And number two, we become part of our environment. We're not in Golos. So long you're in Golos, you know you have to fix things. And you know that these people around you is not your environment. This is not who I belong to. The second you forget you're in Golos, so you're not misaken what you have to be misaken. and you start looking at the people around you like that's normal. That's a normal thing. Right? By me, if you walk into Yeshiva Bacha's room and he has posters in his room of baseball players, football players, right? It's not stam distasteful. It's not stam distasteful. Avada for me is distasteful. It's not distasteful. There's a major perspective problem. You walk into your room, Lahabdul, you don't have a picture of Chaim Knievsky. You don't have a picture of Shach. You don't have a picture of Moshe. You don't have a picture of that's what you have a picture of. If you're a machma, you don't hold up pictures altogether. Fine. But if you're having pictures, these are your heroes, and that's what you have in your room, where are you heading in life? That's what bothers me. Where's the guy heading? That's his hero, Nebuch. I really have rachmanis on a guy like this. I have tainis. I'm full of pity. Mamish full of rachmanis. That's the guy's hero? That's where he's heading in life? You lose sight. You lose sight. So you could be in Golos, and your oppressor could become your hero. Fakir, look. Ganz fine. Ganz fine. Listen, I had a lot of hakoras hatoiv to Donald Trump. He did a lot of good things for Eretz Yisrael. But he ain't my hero. I don't wake up in the morning and say, I hope one day I could grow up to be like him. In any way. There's not one nekuda that I want to be like him. When I make Shaloy Sani Goy, he's included in the bracha. It's not my hero. My hero is every Marbitz Torah and every Rebbe and every Mechanech and every Baal Chesed. Those are my heroes. This is not my hero. But some Yidden, the way they spoke about Donald, you could see. This is given out by the Zohar. Somebody asked me if they could name their child after him. I asked the individual one question. I said, do you want your child to grow up like him? He was like, in some ways. In what way? Let's try to work it out. In what way would you like him to grow up like him? Some people make a pshore. They give the English name, Donald. Yeah, Yiddish nomen and I. When an English nomen, Donald. But Lamaise, Vos, right? It, unfortunately, it could happen to somebody. Zok the Baba Vareba. Aleph Beis is being in Golos, being able to accomplish what you have to accomplish in Golos. So you have to know you're in Golos. That's what the Gemara Bava Basra was saying. If we would have let our boat sail away, our principles, our Torah, our everything else sail away, we would have drowned. Baruch Hashem, we knew we're in the middle of an ocean. We didn't feel secure. That's what saved us. That's what saved us. That's the message of the Gemara. Azoy zok de baba v'rebe. Which is what the Chafetz Chaim was saying for years. The people, I wasn't there, obviously. The Yidden that were close with the Chafetz Chaim said for years he was saying the Yidden are becoming too comfortable. The Yidden are starting to forget their own goals. This is before World War II. It's getting too backfemt. It's too comfortable. That's the biggest danger. That's the biggest danger. Zok the Satmar Rebbe, listen to his unbelievable words. He says, V'hi Sha'am is going back on nothing. It's everything is in it. That piyut has everything in it. Those couple of lines. You want to know how we survived? Because Hashem makes sure that eventually we figure out that these are our enemies. And Elo shebechol dor v'dor ayim dim aleinu. Satan Rebbe says, look at the simulation, look how many Jews Nebuchadnezzar lost. And that's with all the tzaras that we got from Klal Yisrael. With all the tzaras. Somebody in my mishpacha just recently sent me a clip. It wasn't a real maisa, but it was like an acted out maisa mistama in Eretz Yisrael. We have a chiloni standing next to Hashem at Torah Mitzvahs. And you know, over there, there's a lot of bad feelings, let us say, Pelosh and Akiah. And now with the radical government, the right wing, it's even more. So this guy, this from a year, this standing there, again, it's not a real maisa. It was an acted out maisa, but there's a lot of truth to the maisa. And the yid went and he made a brocha. He's eating, and the guy next to him has his, you know, headphones. Or today nobody has headphones, AirPods, whatever it is. And with the music, when Atan says, you know, he has against these, he's swinging around with the music. And he looks at the guy like he came from. And the Fumi turns to him and starts conversation. Achi, my brother. And the other guy tells him, I'm not your brother. Don't call me your brother. You're a Haredi. I'm a friar. We're not brothers. Don't get us mixed up. And this El Tregi doesn't lose his stand. He insists, we are brothers. He says, I eat cheeseburgers, the guy says. Would you come with me to eat cheeseburger? Come with me to the restaurant right now. He says, no, I wouldn't do that. So you're not my brother. That's the way the conversation, you know. The conversation goes abyssal weiter, not much, but abyssal weiter. And the guy the Israeli soldier rolls up, he's an ex-soldier, rolls up his hand and he shows him a tattoo with a gun, with a gun. So he says, this is who I am. My friends are buried in Mount Herzl. This is who I am. Okay? And you're against this tattoo by you already makes me puss. The yid rolls up his sleeve. Says, I also have a tattoo. See, we're brothers. He had the numbers from the Holocaust. He said, you see, we have matching numbers. We are brothers. So the guy was Moirim. And then he says, who taught you that? Like he got the secular Israeli got inspired for a moment. Who taught you that? He said, his name is Adolf Hitler. He taught me that both of us are brothers. That's what he said. He taught me that we're both brothers. It didn't make a difference, me or you. he wanted to fry both of us. Didn't make a difference. If you have a black hat, do you have a cap? That's the Yisrael. Zok to Satmar Rebbe, the oim de molenu l'chaliseinu is necessary. When we don't realize ourselves, Hashem makes sure we realize it. Because that's the biggest danger. Chas v'sholem, to think that's where you belong. That's the biggest danger. Now we got pshat in the Medrash. By us. The Perek starts, Perek Gimel. L'nasi says Yisrael. The Gemara says, ask the Medrash, what's going on? Why did Hashem leave us some enemies there? And on that Chazal answer, they actually preserve the vineyard. They're there to preserve the vineyard. We need to have a fence. Klal Yisrael need a fence around them. And that fence we need. And that's what they're there for. We're not supposed to feel so comfortable. You look at the environment we're living in now, it's a Medina Shel Chesed. My Rebbe Yankov always used to say, it's a Medina Shel Chesed. Tak is, right? But oy vey, if you start thinking this is normal. Look at the world around you. If you start thinking this is where you belong, you're comfortable. Rahman al-Flam. You have no idea what it could do to your neshama if you feel like this is where you belong. There's nothing about the society today that we can really even connect to, b'chlal. There's nothing we can even connect to in the society. It's so, and that's the aside. The Eibishter sends us these messages because we need them. That's what preserves us. And that's critical. It's critical. That's why I think twice before you hang up a poster of a chreis to whoever Yenem Meshugan is in your room. I'm not saying any of you chasson will do it. But even if it's hanging in your head, let's say it's not hanging on your wall, but in your head it's hanging. That guy! That you don't realize it's matamtim as halev. And that's the message of you have to wake up every day. I used to say one of the reasons Shaloy Asanigoy, it's different than all the brachas HaShachar. Most of the brachas are only there to give Shevach to Hashem. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for standing me up. Thank you for giving me shoes. Thank you for being able to walk, clothing. It's all thank you, right? There's no question Shaloy Asanigoy is also thank you. But it's also, we have to remember what the message is for us too. We have to wake up in the morning and say, Baruch Hashem, I'm not that. I look out the window, I'm not that. That reminds you to be you. Reminds you to be you. I had a very chash of a Talmud. Very chash of a Talmud. Today he's from the biggest helpers of the yeshiva. You're not going to guess who it is, so it doesn't make a difference. And he asked me a yarmulke shayla. It's a ma'aseh shoya. Now these shaylas, I don't get these shaylas anymore. But like 25, 28 years ago, I still got the shaylas about yarmulkes. Yarmulkes at work. There were all kinds of heterim, and obviously, the heterim for not to wear a yarmulke, it's not who knows what's so hard to give such a heter. It's no klor halach and shulchan aruch. Lo yelach da'al ramas begili rush. The chidah holds it's only l'chatchila. There was vart for a moshe. If you're in a building, chavais, it's better. You have a roof on your head. Shechina l'mal me'roshi. By some tfutzis Yisrael, by Sfardim, some of them weren't even makabel the minik. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, noyagim gedoyle doyreinu. That's the lashon of the Rambam. Our gedoylem are noyag that they don't go out begilui reish. So you see, it was nafutz. It was nafutz. Not everybody wore yarmulke. So out of Talmud, he came to me and he said, listen, he was in finance. And he said, you know, it was then very, very snotty environment. And he was the only guy with a yarmulke. He was the only guy with a yarmulke. He wanted to get a heter if he could at work take off his yarmulke. Very erlucha guy. Very erlucha guy. Kaveitim l'toyre, he was makbar on minyana. Very erlucha guy. Wonder if he could take off his yarmulke. I didn't give an immediate answer. I wanted to hear the proto. Again, today it's not a get. Today a guy could be a surgeon in any hospital and there's other surgeons with yarmulkes walking around. Today it's different. It's a different world culturally. First of all, in that way it's positive. Today nobody cares what you wear. Just like a total meshugan. You could be a surgeon and walk around like a meshugan now. Maybe you walk around with cut jeans. I had that once. I met a top surgeon. He was wearing a pair of pants. It didn't even go to the... It was just cut. It looked like... Mamish looked like he took a pair of pants and cut it. And he's a top surgeon. So today is though it's a mile for us because... Nobody has to worry about how you look. So I told the guy, I started asking the guy more questions. I said, does it affect your parnasa? He said, what do you mean? He said, no, it doesn't affect my parnasa. I have a job. He says, your job at risk? Like, you know, if you wear yarmulke now, you're afraid they'll fire you? No. He actually wore yarmulke by the interview. So I said, so what's the problem? He says, you know what it is? I'm always uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. He says, like when the oil says jokes, when I'm in the room, they can't say jokes because they feel like, who knows, the guy with the skull cap, he's going to be uncomfortable. So it makes me feel a barrier with the environment. I said, you're mechuyev to wear a yarmulke. You're more mechuyev than I am. If I walk around yeshiva without a yarmulke, what's the chance I am? You look at me like I'm nuts. Okay, big deal. It's not going to make me more like a goy if I walk around without a yarmulke. Right? I'm not changing. I'll just feel like a fool if I can't kapos avenis. Yeah. I said, for you now, for you a yarmulke is even more important. For you, this is what the Medrash is saying. You need a mechitza around yourself. You need kaitzim. You need something to protect the vineyard. That's the issue. And this, I'm telling you, Rabbi, you have to remember every day of your life. Because the mila that we have, that we live in a country that... Taka doesn't remind us that we're as much, that we're in Golos, like some other Tkufis and Klal Yisrael. There's a danger right next to it. The danger is that you start feeling, this is my environment. I belong here. This is normal. This is a normal environment. It's not normal. It's Tate Meshuggah. It's Tate Meshuggah. In certain ways, it's more Meshuggah than any Tkufa. Any tkufa, there's no tzuris adam today, b'chol, whatever you want to do. There's no, literally, no, even physical tzuris adam. There's nothing. Nothing is sacred anymore. So that's what this chazal is telling us. There has to be a koitzim between you and the people around you. That's the yisayt. Okay.
Ooh.